Now, if you're anything like me, especially the way I was when I was in the same situation as you, then you probably are wondering how you can master conversational hypnosis. Because you'd really want to learn how you can use these skills to influence others ethically, so that everyone you meet can end up having a richer and more rewarding life. And you might be thinking about the future, about using these skills, and feel, you know, a little daunted. Well, the first time I tried to use hypnosis, I was terrible. I tried to learn it from a book, and because my signal recognition system was not as good as yours, I hypnotized my first subject perfectly, and then I ruined it by feeling insecure. You see, I thought I had messed things up because I was looking for something different than what I actually found. So even though I found something real, I didn't realize it then, and I started to get more insecure. Now, everyone wants to move from insecurity to being in security. Because when you're in security and really feeling that secure, your mind is open to learning things exquisitely, because your conscious mind is no longer interfering with an unconscious process. And it took me a long time to figure that part out. Whereas you can learn from my mistakes, and should you ever feel insecure about your skills in the future, you can just go ahead right into trance and let your other mind secure the learnings you need to master conversational hypnosis. Now, I'm not sure what the best place is to begin to master conversational hypnosis. Because looking back, I don't even know how I did it myself. Though I do know how to learn it thoroughly. And whether learning something thoroughly means that you've mastered it, or whether mastering something means you have thoroughly learned that there is always more to learn inside and deeper, far, far deeper than the mere technical details. So that the mastery of a subject becomes as sophisticated and as fun as following a simple story. So where better to begin to look at how to master this art than at the way that someone might learn to tell a story? Now, I learned how to tell a story by going to improvisational theater. For those of you that don't know it, as the name suggests, in improv, all the actors have to come unprepared. You cannot rehearse anything, because you won't know what the scene will be until you get there. Then, when the action begins, you have to make it all up, right there, on the spot. You just make it up. So there I am, on my first day. I'm at improv. And I've never done anything like this before. I speak to the person on my right, and I find out she's a professional actor. She's so good. She's even been in her own TV series. I turn to the person on my left, and discover he's been doing improv for so long. He's got his own show. So there I am. Left, right, in the middle, feeling like I stick right out like a two left feet. And then, our teacher comes out and asks us to follow him inside the theater. It's a place called Jongleurs, very famous for comedy inside London. And we go inside. It's a little darker inside, and we have to blink our eyes to adjust the light. And the first thing we see inside the theater is a stage all lit up. I realize that this is where we'll be doing all our work together. Our teacher begins to speak. He says, "Welcome to the theater of your unconscious. On this stage, you'll observe people doing things that you don't need to imagine right now. More importantly, you'll also make your way onto this stage eventually to experience the unlimited creativity of your unconscious mind. For those of you who are nervous, just relax. Take it easy. Your unconscious mind knows what to do. Remember that every night you sleep and you dream. You don't have to plan your dreams, do you? Just relax. Take it easy and let your unconscious do the work for a change. So the dreams, they come fresh and new every night. In fact, the more you relax, the easier you dream. You could learn from your dreams, you know. Just relax. Take it easy. And learn to trust the unlimited creativity that lies inside your unconscious. We'll always have something fresh and new to say or do. If only you knew how easy this will be, I think you would agree. Just wait and see the wonders that you'll find in this, the theater of your unconscious mind. So I decided to really relax and take it easy. Enjoy the show, especially when you're in it, said the teacher, as we began to learn, really learn about the ancient and noble art of storytelling. You should know that storytelling existed a long, long time ago in countries both near and far, far away. In fact, wherever people lived, lived the art of storytelling. This was true even a long time before the art of story writing was born. A young man that loved the sound of stories. If they had had radios in that days, he would have listened with fascination to the words of the stories that seemingly came from thin air. As it was, he was content to listen and learn from the old storytellers inside the market square. And every day, the little boy would wake up a little bit, and at some time during his normal waking days, he would go inside the market square and dream. As he listened to the old, wise men and women tell their stories for the other mind. And there, the people would gather to listen with a little boy inside the market square. Sometimes there was a mother with her baby fast asleep. Sometimes it was a farmer with his precious ewe listening intently, and the mother loved the story about the little boy that would become a prince, whilst the farmer preferred the story of the golden ram and the wiser ewe. The little boy always found it funny how there could be a double ewe the ewe in the story, and the ewe that listens with rapt attention to the story about a wiser ewe. And could that farmer's ewe really understand the true meaning of this story? The little boy often wondered about that, as little boys tend to do. He wondered about so many things, like how he could become like one of the old, wise storytellers. He knew how to become old. That was just a matter of time and patience. And being so young, he had plenty of time to be patient, so that growing older posed no real problems at all for him. He was unusual in that way. Becoming wise was also simple. He just had to listen to the story about a wiser you. And because he knew to listen. Really listen. The little boy knew the difference between what the story said and what it really meant. Because there was a time when all rams had straight horns. They were not always bent and twisted as they are today. And one day, the ram with his beautiful straight horns and his sister, the ewe, were in a field. The ram complained about how plain and shaggy he looked. He said, "I wish I was as elegant as a gazelle, or as beautiful as a peacock. Then all would look and admire me." The ewe kept silent, because she did not wish such things. One day, they came across a woman with great magic. And the ram said to his sister, the silent ewe, "I will talk to this great lady and see if I can get her to grant me a wish." So he ran up to the woman and started to plead with her. The woman took pity on the ram and asked him how he would like to look. The ram thought about this for a while, and he said, "I would love to be admired by the people in the town. I have seen how they love their precious gold. So I wish to be a golden ram, so that they all might look on me with great admiration at my beautiful golden coat." The wise woman looked at the ram with sad eyes and asked, "Are you sure that this is what you want?" The ram was sure, so she changed him into a strong and noble-looking golden ram. His wool was of the finest gold, and his horns were of the purest gold. He shone like a jewel on the mountainside. Then the lady turned to the quiet ewe and asked, "Little sister, what is it that your heart desires? What do you want for yourself?" The quiet ewe thought silently. "Would you like to look like your brother?" The silent ewe shook her head and said, "Great lady, I do not wish it. All I want is for me and my brother to be happy." The woman looked at the ewe and said, "You are wise, far wiser than your brother. I would not turn your coat to gold, because your heart already is. But I will grant you one more gift. When you are ready for your wish, just call my name, and you shall have it." With that, she disappeared. The golden ram was so happy, he could not wait to run down to the town everyone stared at him admiringly. The wise Yu, however, said, "Don't do it. Stay here, in the mountains, where we are free. I don't trust the town." But the ram was stubborn, and so they went to the town, and oh, what a reception they had. People admired the ram and his wonderful coat. But the wise Yu could see the greed behind people's eyes and their fine words. And that night, whilst they slept in the best stables in the town, the wise Yu woke to the sound of a struggle. Men had come to capture her brother. They stuffed him in a sack and took him away. The wise Yu followed silently. She saw them lock the ram in a dirty pen. And as day was coming, the wise Yu decided to hide and wait. The next evening, she crawled into the pen where the golden ram was kept prisoner. He stood naked in his pen. The men had cut off his wonderful coat of gold in order to sell it on the marketplace. The ram looked miserable. The wise Yu spoke to her brother. She said, "Brother, why don't you break out? You have those fine horns on your head. Surely this wooden gate cannot keep you locked up." The ram looked miserable as he said, "Sister, I've tried that already, but my horns are made of soft gold. They only bend when I charge the door. Oh, how I wish I had not met that lady on the mountainside." The wise Yu looked at her brother and saw that indeed his horns, that were once so straight and proud, had bent and twisted from the impact. But she was a wise Yu. And whilst her brother moaned and complained, she focused inside and thought about what she should do. Because when you stop and think about it, nobody knows his own capacities. The unconscious mind is brilliant, but we don't always listen. Every person has abilities not known to the self, their conscious selves. Abilities that can be expressed in trance, memories, thoughts, feelings, sensations, completely or partially forgotten by the conscious mind. And yet, they are available to the unconscious mind and can be experienced within trance now or later, whenever the unconscious is ready. And that is something that you need to teach people when the appropriate time comes to respond with a certain behavior. And you can do so without knowing consciously what that behavior will be. You see, the unconscious mind is smarter, wiser, and quicker. It understands better and can find the appropriate behaviors. One reason for this is that the unconscious mind has fewer constraints. It is childlike and free. How many of us appreciate the childishness of the unconscious mind? Because the unconscious mind is decidedly simple, unaffected, straightforward, and honest. It hasn't got all this facade, this veneer that we call adult culture. It's rather simple and childlike. When you are in a trance, you think like a child and reach for childlike understandings, simple and free. In the course of living from infancy on, you acquired knowledge, but you could not keep all that knowledge in the foreground of your mind. In the development of the human being, learnings in the unconscious became available in any time of need. When you need to feel comfort, you can feel comfort. The potentials within a person can restore well-being. And we should be willing to feel fully the pleasures and the happiness that we want to. As all our feelings are done by ourselves. Because life isn't something that you can give an answer to today. You should really enjoy the process of waiting, the process of becoming what you are. There is nothing that is more delightful than planting flower seeds and not knowing what kind of flowers are going to come up. And so the wiser you thought for a while, and then called the great lady and said, "I wish that my brother had a second chance." She was wise in this, because she knew that she could not wish her brother's troubles away herself. The ram heard her, and in a flash, he understood that he had one more chance. Instantly he wished, "I wish I had made the same wish as my sister and was happy instead of golden." As soon as he had made his wish, the ram began to transform. His wool started to grow back, but not with fine golden threads. This time, it was thick and white and woolen. His horns transformed as well. They changed their color, and as the gold fell away, they remained twisted and turned as before. The ram felt the changes take hold of him, and with a burst of joy, he broke right through the gates. Then he and his sister, the wise ewe, ran back into the mountains, where they remained happy and free. This is why rams have horns that are twisted and turned. And now you know, when you have an important decision to make, you should always take time to just stop and listen to the wiser you. And so the boy grew older and wiser in equal proportions. But he didn't know how to tell stories. And he really wanted to. So he went inside the market square, up to the wise old man at one end of the market square. And he asked, "Old man, I want to learn to tell stories just like you. But whilst I can borrow the stories that I've heard from you for a little while, I don't know where to find any new ones." The old man listened intently, and with a little gleam in his eyes, he asked, "Have you checked by the river?" And the boy said that he had. So the old man smiled openly and asked, "But did you look on the mountainside?" And the boy assured him that he had. "What about at home? Did you check the kitchen and the fields your father works in?" laughed the old man. Frustrated, the boy said he had looked everywhere his legs could carry him and his eyes could see. So the old man went silent for a while. Then he said, "That reminds me of a story. Do you see that field out there? The house behind it? The hedges that need pruning? Well, that house belongs to my friend Martha. Some time ago now, I went to visit Martha. She invited me down, told me she had some important news to tell me. Some important changes were coming, and she wanted me to know. So I left this place, and I went all the way down to her home, the place she had lived in, was surrounded by hedges. Need some pruning, I thought, as I knocked on her door. There was no answer. So I knocked again. All was was quiet inside. Very still. So I let myself in. And there was Martha sitting in the kitchen on a rocking chair, looking intently out of the window, peaceful. She had the look of concentration on her face, quiet, calm, and she was thinking important thoughts. The old storyteller said, "Hello, Martha. I have come as you asked me to." "Hello," she said. "So glad you could come. I have some important news to tell you. Important changes. But I was thinking, the seasons are changing. Look at that field. The wheat is golden. Time to reap the harvest. Get rewarded for all that work. And the summer is over. Can you feel it? And look, down there, at the children playing. Their coats are on, nice and warm. The winter is coming. I still remember them playing in the snow, building snowmen, having snow fights. Even built an igloo once with their little mittens. And each summer, the wheat and the corn would grow so tall. So many memories. What a harvest. Martha fell silent again. Her emotions were deep as her mind remembered all those memories from the past. So many pleasant experiences to be recalled. She said, "When was the last time you sat down and remembered, really remembered, the past, or thought of the future, where you've been, where you're going, the people in your life, the pleasant experiences, sitting by the stove, drinking mulled wine at Christmas, laughing together. Outside, it would snow, or a rainy storm, safe and dry in here. Nice and warm, cozy. Do you see that table? Remember all the meals we had around it? My birthday, graduation, Christmas, Thanksgiving. The children with their messy plates. and the games we played. Finger painting. Baking cookies and cakes. I can still smell them, you know. All at that table. And there's the fireplace. It's even older than I am. So many fond memories staring at that fire. Warm glow. Toasting marshmallows. Or simply thinking. Come outside with me. I want to show you something. So the storyteller followed her outside. He noticed the hedges. They needed pruning. Can you smell the freshness of the air? The cool breeze, not too cold. Nature is here. It's beautiful. When is the last time you looked at nature? I mean, really looked. That tree. The birds circling around it. Listen to them. So much beauty here. See those roses by the fence? I planted them myself to remind myself. Always take time to smell the roses. It's important. And you see that fence? Remember building it with me. So much effort. Honest work. Good, clean effort. It's so rewarding. Just look at that fence. Knowing I built it. So real. Worth being proud of. And the treehouse that the children built. A place for their imagination. A safe place all of their own. They built it all alone, you know. I'm so proud. Let's just go back inside. And they went back. Past the hedges that needed pruning. Inside. The house felt warm and cozy. I have something important to tell you. The storyteller waited patiently. It's time for change. I need to move on. A new home. The storyteller nodded wisely. Do you want some help with moving on? He asked. Martha nodded yes. Do you have a loft or an attic? Some place where you store all your old things. I bet you haven't cleaned it out. Probably been a long time. I have a suggestion. It's only a suggestion. So think it over first. Go to the place you stored everything. Your memories. Those odds and ends you didn't know what to do with. Take your time. Look through it all. Remember their purpose. Sort through everything. Then, make three piles. Keep them separate. The largest pile is for all the rubbish, all the junk you really don't want anymore. Maybe someone else gave it to you. Maybe it's too old. Maybe it's broken. No need to keep it anymore. Just rubbish. Put it in a pile. Take it out. Put it outside. Before you go to sleep tonight. The trashman will take it away. Overnight. Whilst you're sleeping. They will take it away for you. That's their job. Don't waste another thought on it. They're very efficient. When you wake up tomorrow, it will all be gone. Just the fresh smell of roses. The second pile will be smaller. It's for all the things you no longer need and want to give away. Let other people enjoy this stuff. It was good stuff once, but you don't need it anymore. You've outgrown it. Give it to charity. Donate it. Make it a gift to your friends. Let others have joy in it. You don't need it anymore. The third pile is the smallest. These are the things you will keep. The things you want to take with you when you move on. Make you more comfortable. Only take what you really need. Keep it small. Lighten your load. Easier to travel that way. Takes the weight off your shoulder. No burdens. Much simpler that way. If you need more later, you can always go inside a shop. They're open 24 hours, you know. Just go inside. And get what you need. Anytime. Day or night. Whenever you need something, it will be there. So much easier this way. With that, Martha was ready. She went upstairs. To do what needed to be done. Closed the door behind her. Whilst the storyteller remained in the kitchen, nice and warm, thinking thoughts. Sometimes He looked down the window. Sometimes, remembering things. Sometimes, his thoughts traveled. Sometimes, it was just very peaceful. From time to time, noises would come from inside the attic. Odd movements, unusual sounds. Things were being moved around, rearranged. The storyteller smiled and waited for Martha to finish her job. You could always rely on Martha doing a good job. Very thorough. In time, Martha opened the door. Came downstairs. All done, she said. The storyteller smiled. She looked so much younger. She was ready. Only one last thing to do, he told her. Time to say goodbye. And everyone says goodbye differently. Some smile, some cry, some give a goodbye kiss, some say farewell, or adieu, or ciao, or adios. So many ways to say goodbye. And before you say goodbye to the house, you need to say goodbye to the three piles you made. Just look at each one. And one by one, say goodbye. And say goodbye to the attic and the attic door. Look at the fields of wheat and say goodbye. Say goodbye to the children with the nice warm coats. Just say goodbye. Say goodbye to the snowmen they will build in the igloos. Just say goodbye. Say goodbye to the kitchen, all the meals and celebrations, the cookies and the cakes. Just say goodbye. Say goodbye to the fireplace and the marshmallows. Just say goodbye. Go outside and say goodbye to the roses and the fence you built. Just say goodbye. And say goodbye to the treehouse and all those imaginings. Say goodbye to the hedge that still needs pruning. Just say goodbye. Martha said goodbye to everything that was keeping her there. The time had come. Time to move on. The storyteller hugged Martha and they said goodbye. Years so later, I saw Martha again, said the storyteller. We walked past the old house, and as we passed it, she said, "Their hedges need pruning. They should really cut their hedges." And that's when I knew that Martha had moved on, because they weren't her hedges anymore. They were their hedges. And whatever became of those piles, do you think? Asked the storyteller. The boy shrugged, feeling curious. Sure enough, the first pile, all that rubbish, just disappeared overnight. The trashmen were very efficient. But the second pile, that was just wonderful. Martha spent the next year just giving it all away. She turned all those old memories into gifts that other people could cherish. It doesn't matter one bit that they weren't Martha's old memories. They'd still cherish them as something new, something unique. Because nobody has memories quite like Martha has. And the storyteller looked straight at the boy with a little gleam in his eyes and said, "That second pile, that is where you'll find all your stories. Give them away. They are your gifts. They are not old things. They are unique." The little boy listened intently. Then, bit by bit, a little gleam started to sparkle in his eyes. The old man saw this. He smiled and nodded. Without a word, he stood up and walked away. We told so many stories up on that stage, the theatre of the mind, and it really didn't matter that the others were trained actors and I was not, because we all have an unconscious mind that takes delight in hearing stories. And telling stories, any excuse, is such a pleasure. There really is nothing quite like telling stories for reaching out to other people, connecting, and learning to trust your unconscious mind. The theater of the mind can enchant and mesmerize. And delight and move people. It's easy when you just relax. Take it easy. Trust your unconscious. It's wiser than you. I learned that. Whenever you need something, it will be there. Just go inside. If you try too hard, or feel a little anxious, just say goodbye. Take a deep breath, like you're smelling the roses. Always take time to smell the roses. And just relax. Take it easy, and you will reap an amazing harvest, because it will be there. And it took me a while to learn how to just relax and take it easy. You see, even though my first attempts and doing it hypnosis seemed to go so wrong. They were just stepping stones along the way to learning what I can do now. The insecurity was the door that led into security. And then something wonderful happened. I figured out how to take hypnosis to the next level because I learned to just relax and listen to my unconscious mind. This wiser you, I discovered the secrets that we've been talking about here, the secrets of conversational hypnosis. It was a real wake-up call for me, I can tell you that now. Now, I'd love to take the credit for all that, because I still wake up every morning and feel fantastic all over, just knowing that I have these skills. But really, when I'm honest about it, it wasn't me that did all the work. It was my other mind that put everything together for me and closed the door to insecurity, leaving me on the outside feeling fresh and excited about all the things that life has to offer. My only job now is to smell the roses and enjoy the harvest that my unconscious mind has given me. And I don't know if that makes me a master of conversational hypnosis, but it does make the whole endeavor thoroughly rewarding. And you know what? I think you've been sitting there listening to me for long enough now. It doesn't take a stretch of the imagination for you to take a deep breath, stand up, and really enjoy stretching all those muscles that have been resting patiently until now.